So one of the issues that I've had for a very long time, especially as I've gotten older, is finding a good pair of jeans. When I was young, this wasn't a problem for me, but now that comfort's the number one factor that I look for, I just hadn't found anything that worked as something I could wear all day, every day, until now. Men, if you hate khakis like I do, your time has come. The perfect jean was created by a conglomerate of mostly imperfect men and a couple of extra perfect ladies who set out on a mission to find a jean that we can wear no matter what we're doing. Whether you're lounging on the couch, working outside, salsa dancing, doing yoga poses, or dunking a basketball, this is a pair of jeans that is built for your life. I picked up a pair skeptical at first because I'd been let down so many times before, but I've got to tell you, these jeans slip on like your favorite pair of sweatpants. You know the ones. Once I had my pair, I reached out to the team at Perfect Jean and asked them if I could run an ad on my show. And they were kind enough to offer you, yes, you listening right now, a special 25% off discount code that you can use when you pick up your very own pair. Don't be like me and pay full price. Take advantage and pick up the best pair of jeans you've ever worn right now. Head to theperfectjean.nyc and enter the discount code 25FORFRIENDS at checkout to get 25% off your very own pair of Perfect Jeans.
Do you recall not long ago we would walk on the sidewalk innocent, remember? All we did was care for each other, but the night was warm, we were bold and young. All around the wind blows, we would only hold on to let go. Blow a kiss into the sun, we'd need someone to lean on. Blow a kiss into the sun, all we need is somebody to lean on.
Tonight we are back. My good friend TJ, I really appreciate you doing this, man. This is sort of like a special, sort of like a midweek thing we're doing just kind of just because. And I appreciate you doing this. I wouldn't want to do it with anyone else. So thank you for joining me, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chris. I really appreciate it. I mean, you know, we've been friends for a while for all the different stuff we've been working on together and separately. So it's been great. And it's, you know, what else are we going to do while we're in the middle of quarantine, you know?
yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's kind of, you know, why I wanted to sync up with you tonight and have you on the show. And you know, just to give a little exposition, like we met during Chasing Earhart, actually. You, mm-hmm. Your former show, your show that you had, hopefully it'll come back one day. I have a feeling hopefully it will. Pints and Puzzles. It's a show that you did where you had a lot of different folks on, and you were kind enough to have me on while we were running Chasing Earhart and doing that. And we had a really in-depth conversation about Earhart and all the different theories, and we got into some real fun stuff. And ever since then, we've sort of been chatting off and on. And I know you and Jennifer Taylor, my co-host, my dear friend on Vanished, you guys are close as well. So, yeah. You know, it's just, it's going to be a lot of fun to talk with you tonight, man.
Yeah. I think, you know what, I was re-listening to that interview not too long ago, actually. I was just telling somebody else about Chasing Earhart. I'm like, oh, look, I have my own on this. but I think I was like, was that like your second interview or something on that too?
Probably.
Like after Astonishing Legends, I think it was kind of neat. Like I got you pretty early on.
yeah. Probably. It was probably pretty early on. And I just remember, we got into a real extended conversation, which was a lot of fun. I mean, after I did Astonishing Legends, it sort of took, you know, it sort of took Chasing Earhart to a whole new level. And it was just, you know, really, really obviously we'll always be forever grateful to Scott and Forrest for that. And you reached out and were shortly after that, and we kind of got together and did the show, and it was a lot of fun.
I think a lot of us podcasters or former podcasters, whatever you want to call it. I mean, podcasting to me is kind of like the CIA. Like you're never really out, you know, like
right.
Whether you're active or not is a whole nother story. But I think just with the community, like you're always part of the community regardless. But I think a lot of us owe a lot to the Podfathers, as I, you know, respectfully refer them to. They, I think they inspired a lot of shows, and they definitely set the bar pretty high as far as, you know, what a lot of us smaller shows wanted to live up to at the time too. And probably even now too.
Well, you know, I remember doing research for what would become Chasing Earhart way back in probably like in 2013, early 2014 or something. And I was looking for, I knew we wanted to do a podcast, and I was looking for sort of a good, sort of a really solid representation of sort of what we wanted Chasing Earhart to be. And I remember looking up Amelia Earhart just in podcasting apps, like on the Apple Podcast app and stuff. And, And I just couldn't find anything. There were some one-offs here and there and things. And then I found Scott and Forrest, what they did with Astonishing Legends. And it was really early in the run. I think it was episode like 3 and 4 or 4 and 5 or something. It was really early.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. It was definitely before their double digits. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny cause that's basically how I found them too, was I was, everybody starts with Serial, right?
Yeah.
Especially kind of our generation of podcasters. So we kind of got a little bit sucked down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And then I was watching Oak Island actually on History Channel back, whatever season that would have been, season 1 or 2, I think, at that point,
Yeah.
And then I did kind of the same thing where I just went into the, Apple Podcasts and just searched on Oak Island, and then them and Nighttime Podcast is another great one.
Yeah.
They both came up on Oak Island and I was like, oh, look, there we go. So yeah. That's kind of how I got sucked into the Astonishing Legends rabbit hole. And it's fun. You know what's cool about them is that if you go back and listen to their original episodes, like obviously they've grown a lot, yeah. Like every podcast does, but they're still really good, even in their early infancy stage.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And I know we're not going to do this whole episode just kissing their ass,
but the first few minutes, but at the same, we'll do that.
Yeah. But at the same token, they're also pillars, I think, of the podcasting community, especially kind of our genre, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And kind of the weird stuff genre or unsolved mysteries genre.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you have to respect what they've done for the platform and what they've done for the genre. I mean, not only that, but another big shout out to Jim Harold, who even Scott and Forrest think are, is a legend. And he really is when it comes to podcasting. And I had the opportunity to work with Jim Harold briefly on Vanished Sleepy Hollow, as we did with you as well. You guessed it on that show too. And it was,
yep,
it was one of those things where when you talk to certain people and you deal with certain podcasters and things, you hear a lot about different people and different things, but when you talk to them, it's really sort of surreal because you hear these. I had listened to Scott Forrest. I think Chasing Earhart was episode 90 or something. So I had listened to them for, 80 or 85 episodes, yeah, since the Earhart piece. And it was really surreal to go to, to travel to LA and go to Blanket Fortiana and actually sit down with them and talk with them in person. And of course, since then they've become, good friends. And I think really a lot of them, and Forrest was just at my vow renewal.
Awesome.
Yeah. Back in November when we went back home before all this hell broke loose that we're in right now.
Yeah.
We were able to go back home and do our vow renewals and yeah, Forrest was there. Scott obviously couldn't make it cause he was on the East Coast, but, they're really kind of become big parts of my life personally. They were out at our panel in Atchison, and that was just a hell of a time we all had together. It was a lot of fun. And, these are guys that have no ego. It's very, another similar pair is Justin and Aaron from Generation Y. These guys they're huge podcasters, but they have zero ego. Just super cool, down to earth guys.
Yeah. I've heard great things about them from everybody that's met them. They seem like just genuine guys too.
Yeah.
I will say I met Scott once back, speaking of East Coast, when we were both, had residence up in Pennsylvania area. And we kind of just randomly met. I think I was getting swag or something from them, and then he's like, wait, you live pretty close, you want to just like pop over for blackjack? Which, by the way, if he's listening, he still owes me $20 for that. No, but that was years and years ago. But it was kind of surreal because you're used to, like, you have this connection with people, through podcasting or through being a podcast listener, right?
Yeah.
Where if they're just literally in your head, so it's a very personal connection, I think, which is what a lot of us like about podcasting on both sides of the mic, right?
Yeah.
But it's kind of weird. Like, you meet him in person, you're like, first of all, he's super tall. And then second of all, you're like, wait, what? Like, this is kind of weird. You're meeting one of your, like, sort of idols, or like a pseudo celebrity.
Yeah.
But then, like you said, once you hang out for 5 minutes, you're like, wait, this is just a normal dude. Like,
right.
And I think that's one of the cool differences about podcasting, maybe over other genres,
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, I 100% agree with you. And, I've been lucky to work with some podcasters that, big, huge fans of, and just, couldn't be nicer people. And, my experience has just always been really great with everybody. I mean, I got a chance to work with Javier Leyva, Pretend Radio, guy's voices. He's like, I got a golden voice. And, the smoothest, just suave, coolest dude you could ever talk to. And we talked a little bit about Ichabod Crane and a little bit about John Wilkes Booth, which we're going to be getting into for season 2 of Vanished.
Yep.
And, just super nice guy.
Wait for that.
Yeah, man, we're, we're so excited, dude. I'm knee deep in that right now. It's not even funny.
Funny story with Javier is he's actually the reason we moved part of the reason we moved to North Carolina, or this specific area where we're in. We're kind of outside of Raleigh area in North Carolina from Pennsylvania. We went down to visit him, and then we're like, this is beautiful down here. And we just kind of moved down here. But the weird thing is we live maybe 10, 15 minutes away from each other now. And we talked more when I was seven states away from each other, I think, right. Just because of how life works sometimes. Yeah. But he's also, by the way, just as cool in person.
Yeah.
But it was funny. I was down here for a while, and just, you know, kind of life gets in the way. And then I was talking to him the one day we met up for a beer or something, and then I was like, hold on, I gotta turn my back to you for a little bit so I could transition into you being a person instead of just a voice on my radio,
right,
you know?
Right.
So it is kind of cool though. You're just waiting for him to go, thanks for listening to Pretend Radio, instead of I'll have another beer, you know?
Yeah. Like,
or just pretend, sorry. Yeah. Not Pretend Radio.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, Ed, you know, and I know we've kind of, you know, we've been talking about other podcasters, but I mean, the reason why I wanted to have you on tonight, what I really love about you and kind of what you've done with your career in podcasting, and it's really similar to Jeremy from podcasts we listen to. What I really love about both of you guys is you guys really spent a lot of your time propping up other podcasters and really just sort of giving of yourself. It's a very, very selfless thing what you guys have done, because you've given of your platform and of your podcast to highlight and spotlight other podcasters. And I think that's a really special thing. I think that's a really sort of an intimate niche that people within the podcast community don't often do. I mean, people do guests and collab, of course, which is really great, but to sort of make your show all about sort of propping up other guests and other shows is really, it's really a beautiful thing, man. So, I mean, I really appreciate you for that. And I think it's,
well, I appreciate that too. I mean, and honestly, that's what you're doing now with, you know, with me and my friends, you're doing that now.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
With, you've had a fair amount of podcasters on your show. Right. And actually I appreciate that as a listener too, because now I'm finding new podcasts to add, especially now, you know, when we have more headphone time.
Right.
We're all trying to get to that Astonishing Legends level,
right?
Like everybody's trying to get to that level in podcasting. So
that's the bar.
You know, if it helps, if it helps to try to do that full time, I mean, that'd be phenomenal for, I don't know a podcaster out there that, I mean, everybody starts doing it as a fun hobby and that in some cases turns into a side hustle.
Yeah.
But everybody ultimately would love to quit their day job and podcast full time, you know? And I know that it's definitely hard work. It's not easy, which is why a lot of podcasts don't stop a little too soon.
Yeah.
In some cases, or need breaks or extended breaks, you know? I know for myself, that was part of it too. You know, life kind of changed a lot for me. So it was, the podcast just had to take a back seat. You know, it's just what it is. So with social media, that doesn't mean you can't support all your podcasts.
Sure.
I will say I got to a point where I felt bad because I was almost felt like I was leaving people out and not on purpose, you know, but you start listening to your bunch of shows and then you're like, wait, I forgot to tweet about this one. And then it does get a little overwhelming when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But it's definitely nothing personal. And there's definitely still a lot that I listen to that I maybe forget to tweet about all the time because I don't necessarily interact with them as much directly on Twitter. So, but there's still definitely a handful of great shows out there that still promote a lot of shows, yours being one of them. And you mentioned Jeremy too. His show's great too for that as well too.
Yeah. Jeremy's built a hell of a community of following on Facebook and everything. The podcast we listen to group on Facebook's really great. I mean, he should, it's really commendable. It's really admirable that, you know, he's done that. And I think, you know, what we're doing right now, it's sort of trying to keep people's minds off of kind of what's going on. And then it's sort of like the elephant in the room, right? It's like, we're doing this right now, on Wednesday, you know, tonight's, it's March 18th and it's about 9:30 central right now. We're recording this and, you know, it seems like the news is really crazy and everybody's really scared and everybody's really sort of concerned about what's going on right now. And so I think what's interesting is podcasting is sort of, you know, it's I don't want to say it's coronavirus proof, but it's one of those things that's like, hey, you can, you know, we can all remote, we can stay home, we can work on our podcast, we can dive in and we can put some really great content together, we can put out some stuff, and we can maybe just for a little bit take people's minds away from kind of what's going on and talk about, you know, whatever your show is about, whether it's a true crime show or whether if it's paranormal or whether it's a historical like ours or a sports show or something like that. It does get people sort of out and away from kind of the reality. It's almost, you know, I think it can be classified as escapism, just like, you know,
absolutely,
film can be, music can be. And it's one of those things where if it's not too topical, you know, and you can stick to your ground. I mean, I know I wanted to get with you tonight about talking about, you know, what's going on, and we'll definitely dip into it a little bit. But I mean, I wanted to make sure that people can, you know, to understand that, hey, you know, life will go on, and it's one of those situations where it might slow us down, and everybody should be very cautious and you know, take heed to, you know, the officials and what's going on right now. And it's just one of those situations where it's scary for everybody. And I can see it. I mean, I can see it. We were just out earlier today, you know, trying to get a few things, you know, for this whole kind of hunkering down thing. And it's in, you know, Kansas City at, you know, at 5:30, you know, rush hour traffic. And it's almost like The Walking Dead. There's nobody on the freeways. There's maybe 10% of the traffic that normally there is on the freeways and on the streets. And it's, you know, you go into, I think I posted a video on social media the other day. It's like we went into Sam's Club, and I told my wife, I was like, it's going to be packed. It's going to be really packed in here. So we need to get in and get out. We need to do what we can. It was eerily and just stunningly quiet in there. And there was some people in there. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't super barren or anything, but there was just maybe 20%, 25% of the normal people in Sam's Club. So it's pretty remarkable right now.
Wow. I've driven by like the Target parking lots, but even like, you know, I'm home with the kids right now.
Yeah.
And I have three kids that are 8, 7, and 3.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're out of school, and you know, you try to make it as normal as possible for them, but,
right.
At the same token, like we need to get out of the house. So we went for a drive yesterday, stayed in the car completely safe, but I was actually surprised, at least in my area, that there was still like the Target parking lot was still pretty busy. Like I was kind of surprised, and I don't know if that's going to wear off, if it's going to get worse. I'm not sure how that's all going to look, or if people are just kind of putting their heads in the sand and like, it is what it is, and just digging through it, which obviously I don't necessarily think is the right approach right now for everybody. But I think, like you said, I've always used podcasting as well as a listener, you know, for as kind of that escape, escapism thing, and radio too. You know, I have my morning show that I love on iHeartRadio that I always listen to.
Right.
And it's kind of the same concept, you know. They're just a longer, you know, nationally syndicated show, but it's kind of the same thing as far as podcasting and whatever you like. It's just, you put on your headphones and kind of tune out the rest of what's going on.
Right.
And for me too, I mean, I was a stay-at-home dad for 4 years, 5 years, something like that. So it's also just not listening to whatever the kids are watching on TV for 5 minutes. You know, I mean, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is great, but only for so long.
Once you've seen the same episode 100 times, yeah, right?
Exactly. And especially when they're real little, it's like, I mean, you know, you have a son as well, but
yeah,
it's like you get the same kind of thing, and then they want to watch the same one once they find one they like. So, yeah. You know, that gets a little bit easier the older they get, but it is kind of funny that Mickey Mouse is on in the room, and then you're listening to, you know, some kind of true crime podcast about serial killers in your headphones,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it definitely is that escapism. And I think, like you said, we're not looking to like make light of anything, I don't think, from what, you know, we've talked about by any means. But people need a distraction, you know, if they want to go, you know, knee deep into coronavirus territory, you know, COVID-19 stuff, then social media is where it's at. You know, even Twitter's not fun anymore, you know?
Right, yeah.
Some people could argue whether it was fun to begin with. That's a different story. But, you know, I mean, it's just, if you don't want to hear about politics or coronavirus, then just stay the hell off social media right now, you know?
Yeah.
And hopefully this is just a little bit of a lighter distraction for people.
Yeah.
And that said, I mean, if you want real stuff, bottom line, just cdc.org. I mean, that's your...
Right.
In my opinion, anything else is just speculation and rumor until it gets posted officially, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I know it's government run, but it's also medically run as well, too. And, you know, I've talked to a handful of healthcare professionals too, and there's some, I mean, there's some serious shit going on. So people have to not take it lightly and be smart about what they're doing, I think is my opinion, on things that, the biggest thing we're going to have right now is, I think, the shortage on supplies and nurses.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, doctors as well too. But I mean, God bless those nurses that are really, they're really on the front lines. And then the supplies, like people are hoarding masks at home, which does them no good at home, but the nurses and healthcare professionals really need them, you know, as an example. Yeah. And I think that's where we get into tricky territory of people worrying a little bit too much about themselves and not about what's, you know, being rational about it.
Yeah. Let me ask you a couple of things, because there's things I wanted to ask you about. I was thinking about earlier, and you mentioned, you know, you have three kids, and mm-hmm. you know, I have a son, he's you know, he's going to be 11 this year. And last night, my wife had to sort of lay with him for a little while because he's, you know, he mentioned something about, you know, just being scared just out of the blue. And she asked him, you know, what are you scared of? And, you know, he's like, well, you know, if something were to happen to you and dad, like I have to be able to get a job and pay bills and do all sort of stuff. And it was really, you know, it was really heartbreaking to sort of hear. And she came in the room after she kind of laid with him for a couple hours. She came in the room and she kind of told me what was going on. And it really got me thinking about that. And I wanted to pose this question to you, you know, having kids in this time, this is make no mistake, this is something that we've never seen in our lifetimes and we'll likely never see again. Hopefully we never see again. This might be one of those situations where it was life, you know, before this virus and life after this virus. And I hope it's not that bad, but having kids, and especially kids that are old enough to sort of know what's going on and sort of kind of understand things, you know, how do you approach that when you have kids like that? Do you educate your kids? Do you talk to them about it? Do you just sort of keep them distracted? Is there a mixture of both? What do you do there?
I follow, especially obviously the three-year-old, she's three. So she's not going to really, you know, obviously notice anything. I'm kind of lucky in that the 6 and 7 year old were actually asking more questions when they came home from school.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if they were talking about it in school or just hearing other kids talk about it, hearing older kids talk about it. I'm not sure what the situation was, but my 8 year old came home and was like, Dad, and then this flu came from a lab in China. And I'm like, wait, how do you know? Like, I wasn't talking conspiracy stuff to anybody out loud, you know, like, how do you know all this stuff? And you're right, as a parent, it's kind of terrifying. But at the same token, I just kind of follow their lead. And I don't know if that's the right approach or not, but for me, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, when they're with me and, you know, their mom might have a slightly different approach, but I know that we're kind of on the same page as far as just being as honest as we can about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're like, what can we do? Can we go to a park? And I'm like, I don't know. Cause I really don't know. Like, I don't know if we can go to a park. Some, you know, they don't want people gathering. That's one thing. But also, like, is the playground equipment safe? I don't know the answers to all that right now. I know we can go outside and take a walk around the neighborhood. So that's what we did yesterday. But I mean, beyond that, I don't really know what to tell them sometimes, but I've always been super honest with them. And it's like, you know, this sucks for everybody, you know, you guys and me in different ways, you know, like you can't have six helpings of pancakes today, you know, because I'm not sure how long that box is going to last, you know.
Talking about like the pancake thing. And so that's true. I mean, you know, rationing sort of food, because, you know, I'm talking to my wife about this and we have, you know, long conversations like in bed at night, and we're sitting in bed and talking about stuff. And it's like, yeah, you know, we might have we might be in a pretty okay shape right now as far as, you know, supplies and food and things like that right now, but that's going to eventually run out.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of got to think about, you know, this front page thing on Yahoo and CNN tonight saying that, you know, the federal government is looking at least potentially 18 months of this thing coming in multiple waves. And, you know, eventually you're going to run out of supplies in 18 months. I mean, almost no one, I would be stunned at anybody that was ready to go to ground for 18 months, you know, fully. It's one of those situations where, and I feel like with all this, you know, like, and people make light of it in social media with the memes and things like the toilet paper memes and all that stuff.
Right.
And all that. But when you think about it, it feels an awful lot like we're living in a panic culture. And correct. It's one of those situations where I think if there's one thing that's stunningly and embarrassingly obvious at this point, I think that we as a nation were just very underprepared for something of this magnitude. And it's one of those situations where, like, maybe it's naivete. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know why we're, you know, unprepared as we are, but I feel like, you know, we certainly are. And I feel like we're seeing that fallout right now as far as how underprepared we were and, you know, how we're trying to catch up and deal with it. But I feel like there really is a panic culture. I mean, I was looking at one of the local groups that I belong to on Facebook for our local area where we live. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're talking about there's people, you know, and I know this is illegal, but it's happening anyway. There's people in, you know, selling individual toilet paper rolls out of their garage for like 15, 20 bucks a pop.
Jesus.
And it's, you know, but you know, when you look at that, you look at, you know, we were in the store the other day, you know, trying to get a few things, and you saw, you know, this elderly couple that was trying to get some bread, and there was very little bread. And there was a really nice, you know, young lady that was there. Actually, there was bread like only on the very bottom shelf, and they kind of toward the back, and they couldn't obviously, you know, bend down to get it. So she was like telling them what kind of bread there was and what would they like and stuff like that. And it's just another patron that was there. Mm-hmm, you're seeing, and you are certainly seeing, you know, a lot on social media too. There's a lot of negativity, but there's a lot of good doses of positivity on social media too. You're seeing people sort of, you know, try to spread kindness as much as they can and spread love as much as they can in this situation. But I feel like overall, you know, we really were underprepared, and we sort of are in the middle of this panic culture, and you're sort of seeing that fallout right now.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I told you we won't get too into politics on this one, but I mean, there's obviously different opinions on that as well too. As far as why we might've been underprepared, and some decisions that may have been made in the past that may not have helped the situation, right. I guess. So we'll just kind of leave it at that for right now. Just for lack of a better, but again, just like anything else related to things, you can only believe so much on social media sometimes,
right?
Without something to back it up, I guess. And that's just, you know, common sense. But I think you're right. The biggest thing is just people have to, in my opinion, just have to stop being selfish.
Yeah, sure.
With things and just hang out at home for a little bit and stop hoarding the supplies. Because like you said, there's a lot of people, like especially the elderly people. I'm thinking like my grandma's age, you know,
right,
who may not have access to all the things and actually need supplies. I mean, hell, even my parents are are in that high risk category, you know, they're over 60. So I mean, you know, they would, I'm not sure if they would consider themselves old, but you know, as far as you know, the government's concerned, they're high risk. But those are the ones that need the toilet paper and the sanitizer and stuff like that. So it's more just like, if people just got what they needed, we'd be fine. But everybody's kind of, like you said, everybody's panicking and not knowing what to do. And I don't understand the toilet paper thing. I'm just going to be really honest. I don't get it. Like, really? There's a shower next to at least one bathroom in everybody's house. You know, one toilet in everybody's house. So if you really ran out, there's your option. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, let's be really honest about it. It's not like, and then, of course, there's the whole meme of, you know, or joke of like, well, if we don't have food, then the toilet paper is irrelevant anyway. So, you know. So there's always that argument as well too, but I think that the thing, the bottom line to me is the more people that don't listen to all these restrictions that are being put in place, the more restrictions that they're going to need to put in place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the more we see people that are just hanging out at bars, then they're like, oh, we need to shut down bars because people can't listen and stay inside.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and then I think it's going to get closer to that martial law-esque, you know, not real martial law, but, you know, hopefully.
Yeah.
But it's going to get closer to that level the less people listen, whereas hopefully if people just kind of do what they need to, if you really need like food or supplies, go to the grocery store.
Yeah, sure.
Try Amazon Fresh online, hopefully has some stuff. I think they're still functioning in most areas. And at least in my area, that a lot of the grocery stores have the drive-up thing where you can place an order online.
Yeah.
And yeah, you might have to wait a few extra days, so definitely plan out for that. But I think the more we kind of put our big boy pants on, so to speak, then, you know, the faster we'll get through it all. And I know that sounds cliche, but it really is, I think. And then just try not to kill each other. I mean, I was talking with my girlfriend earlier. We're both from Pennsylvania originally, and we were saying that people online that are like, oh, day three of quarantine, da, 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 da. And it's like, have you never dealt with a snowstorm before with your kids, you know? Like, and I don't want to make super light of it, but at the same token, it's like, it's not really different than any of the blizzards we've had. Like, and you kind of almost have to treat it that way in my head, where it's like, if you really need something as far as food goes, then risk it.
Yeah.
You know, and you're healthy, you know, you don't have any kind of immune issues, or you're not in a high risk category, then then by all means, you have to get food, you know. But on the same token, don't be an idiot and risk put other people's lives at risk.
Very good point. All right, so with that, we'll kind of move away from that and just you know, talk about some
insert transition sound effects.
Yeah, exactly. talk about some other stuff. Now, I know you just kind of transitioned a little bit career wise, and you started kind of doing some editing work and some stuff like that. I mean, I know that's something that's really interesting to me, because as a podcaster, I'm sure you have that, you know, you have that knack for editing and listening. Like, I don't know about you, but when I listen to podcasts, every time I hear like a standalone, you know, or something, they could have cut that, or that could have been cut, or this mm-hmm. could have been cleaned up better. Mm-hmm. So I know you're editing for some shows, and you're kind of doing some work on the side and things with that, and you're kind of getting your business going. But how has that been for you? How has it been on the other side of, really of the other side of the mic, essentially, you know, from going from actually hosting duties and everything and having your own show to sort of editing and assisting other people in a different way now?
Yeah, well, even back when I had, you know, Pints and Puzzles and was trying to get a couple other things launched at some point, but they, you know, well, I always had to edit my own show. I didn't have a production team. I was working out of my basement, you know? So, which if you, I don't know if those pictures are still on my Instagram, but somewhere, you know, I went from a basement studio, a quote unquote studio that I built in my old house to a kind of blanket Fortiana esque thing in my walk-in closet up there. And now I'm like, I just hung up a bunch of curtains before we're recording this. So hopefully it sounds good. But, you know, so I always had to edit anyway.
Right.
And that was just one of my kind of OCD things. And maybe it's because I was a listener for so long where just bad audio just drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And it's not so much you can leave a couple ums and likes and things like that in there if it's natural. Right. Like sometimes it sounds not unnatural to remove all of them,
sure.
But you can get a lot of them and the breath sounds, which I know can be challenging for some people, without naming names. But you know, some of that's microphone and some of that's just, they're hard to edit out. And a lot of people don't have time for that. And just one of the things this year when I was kind of making that transition, I was still M prior to all the events from stay at home dad to full time work. I thought this would be kind of a good side hustle, like I said, for lack of a better term right now, to kind of get things going while I'm home a little bit. But it's also something, honestly, it's hard to record with the kids running around.
Yeah.
So it's something I can do while they're running around. It's kind of cute. My 7-year-old was like, "Dad, I want to be a podcast editor like you when I grow up."
And
I'm like,
cool.
"Wait." Which is kind of neat, to be honest, because a lot, like I said, a lot of this start off as side hobbies for people, and then now I'm like, wait, that could be a legit job for you by the time you're my age, you know?
Yeah.
I don't see why not. So it's kind of neat that he was actually helping me edit Jen's show the one day.
Yeah.
So that was fun. He was having fun with that, and he was also learning about the death penalty while he was doing that. But,
oh,
you know, it was
interesting combination.
So it's educational at the same time,
well,
right?
Well, that might go hand in hand with Jen's show, the death penalty. And
that's what I mean. Yeah, it was one of her episodes that already came out. So we were doing an interview for that, and then he was QCing it at the end for me.
Yeah,
and,
awesome.
It was funny. He was picking up a lot of stuff. He's like, "Wait, Dad, why was there a pause?" I'm like, "Just let it go for that one. That one's okay." So he definitely has the gene, I think, too. But yeah, it's something fun that I could do that I can have fun with. It gets a little crazy at a certain point where you can, especially if you get shows that you edit a lot of, you can almost pick up the wave files for certain words.
Yeah.
So not to put Jed on the spot, but I can pick out like her ums look like a hawk flying.
Yeah.
So it's like on the waveform. So it's kind of fun, and it gets a little dorky in there, and, you know, kind of geek territory. But I enjoy it, and I also know that a lot of podcasters don't enjoy that part of it. It's very time consuming, but they also want the good quality as well too for their shows. So I think it's kind of a win-win for everybody. That needs that service too.
Yeah, awesome. And we'll definitely link the website and the show notes and everything. Try to get some people some people your way as well.
Yeah, it's 4170solutions.com and you know, getting the website together was half the fun. So that's always on there. Or you can just just shoot me an DM or whatever on Twitter or Instagram, and I can always take care of you on that as well too. And that's just my personal one, but we'll plug all that at the end.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. And you know, while we're sort of, you know, transitioning into the next kind of, you know, area of, mm-hmm. of the conversation tonight, I mean, I want to do sort of what you've done such a great job of doing. And we did it a little bit in the beginning. We've sort of propped up some big names, Astonishing Legends, Jim Harrell, Generation Y a little bit. Let's talk about some of your favorite shows. You do such a great job on Twitter of sort of pushing shows and things. Let's talk about,
I don't want to offend anybody doing that.
Let's talk about some standout ones. Let's give some love to some podcasts that are out there. Give me some really standout shows of the moment right now for you.
I'm always a huge fan of Graveyard Tales, and you and I have talked about this offline a lot too, but
yeah,
they are, and I'll admit that I'm slightly biased because I'm also friends with them as well too. Friends with Adam. But they are they're the real deal.
Yeah.
And they're just one of those hidden gems, just like Vanished, and probably a couple others that we'll talk about in a minute, but where it's not only are the hosts just good people that you want to support.
Yeah.
So for me, that's a big part of it as well too.
Yeah.
But the episodes are extremely well researched. The sound quality is really good, as far as that goes. And honestly, like, their topics are just, there's a lot, and I've been in, you know, kind of the ADD weird shit, for lack of a better term, genre,
yeah.
for a long time, and they come up with stuff that I've never even heard of, you know.
Right.
So whether it's haunted places or different things, but they also do some of the classics. They just had Crop Circles last week as we're recording this. And then I think they're coming up with Jersey Devil or something along those lines.
Yeah.
So they do some of the classics as well too. And they did a really good job on your and my favorite topic, which is the Travis Walton abduction.
Oh yeah. Fire in the Sky.
So,
man. Yeah.
So yeah, the movie was horrible, but there's a lot of good stuff.
I loved the movie. I thought it was great. That's what introduced me. And I just had, Rob on the show, Rob Christofferson from Strange Skies, another fantastic.
That's
show.
Another fan. Yep, that was going to be on my list as well.
yeah, that guy is he's just one of the brightest minds in the business. And it, just talking mm-hmm. to him, and I remember we talked a little bit about the Travis Walton case. I kind of got to pick his brain on what he thought about it. And I did that movie when I was younger, and I watched it. Scared the shit out of me when I was younger. But it's kept this everlasting kind of memory in my brain, you know, from the first time I ever saw that. And it's
and for me, that was one of the first books, like physical books I had, was his book. And that was back with the black and white pictures in the paperback book, you know, way back before the internet, that sort of thing. And I've just, that's always stuck with me. And honestly, his story hasn't changed in 20 some years, you know, it just hasn't. And I think, like you and Rob talked about a little bit, which is kind of cool to find out that was your favorite as well too. But you know, that was that's just a good case. And honestly, when I did an episode on that on Pints and Puzzles, shameless plug there, but that was one of my favorite episodes to put together for me. Just because personally I love the story. It was a fun interview to do there. As well. I was interviewing one of the producers from a documentary that they produced on Travis Walton. Got really close to getting him on the show, but honestly, I'm kind of glad I didn't, looking back at it, because I probably would have been way too nervous. I've been told he's a good guy, but I just would have been really nervous on that. So, Graveyard Tales, phenomenal. Obviously, we already talked about Astonishing Legends. I'm actually cheating and looking at my playlist on iTunes or, you know, on my Overcast right now. Pretend.
Yeah.
Is phenomenal. You talked about Javier a little bit. He's also coming out with a new one called Criminal Conduct.
Dude, that trailer is so good.
It's phenomenal. And I was very fortunate to get a little bit of a preview of episode one.
Nice.
And you guys will not be disappointed when that comes out. And so if this is going to drop on Friday, then this hopefully we'll have, I think next week it's coming out, so March 23rd or 25th, kind of that week.
Yeah,
it should be coming out. So definitely, if you guys are not subscribed to that, that's one that, if you're in the true crime side, highly recommend. And of course, our buddy Jennifer with In Defense of Liberty. She doesn't like that being called true crime. But,
I know. Yeah, she's
true crime adjacent.
True crime adjacent. Yeah, actually, that's a great term. Jen, you know, and she's probably going to kill me for. I mean, she's.
That's but, all right.
You know, Jen is. You know, it's having her as a partner for the show. It's really. It's not often that she's not the smartest person in the room. She's very she's just insanely intelligent. She's insanely good at what she does. She's got this really natural. So I remember when we did season one of Vanish, which, you know, wasn't too long ago, but we were kind of in the middle of it. I sort of Facebook stalked her a little bit, I think, because I've told the story a couple of times, I think, but mm-hmm. I was actually in the everything's full circle. Astonishing Legends, the fan group on Facebook, or the actual group on Facebook. They have a pretty good sized group, and I was looking for somebody in the legal field that could help me, that could guest on the show, that could just help me out with, you know, sort of trying to put this crazy idea that I had together with trying to bring all these, this Earhart case into modern day jury trial, and kind of how that would work and if it's even doable. And I remember I saw her profile photo, and I remember saying to myself, that's a lawyer.
Yep.
That's definitely a lawyer for sure. And so I peeked at it. I was like, oh yeah, sure enough, she's a criminal defense attorney. And I remember I just reached out to her on I think on Facebook or something, on Messenger or whatever. And I just said, hey, this is, you know, what I'm doing. And I think she had heard of the show because she had listened to Astonishing Legends. So she probably had, I think she said she had heard me on the show when mm-hmm. I was on there. Mm-hmm. And I got on a call there and explained it to her. She took this insane idea that I had, and she breathed life into that idea. And I remember I had her on the show. We did that, the trial by jury piece. It's the longest piece we ever did. To that point for Vanished. Every other show was like 35 minutes, 40 minutes. And then this one was like 2.5 hours or something like that. And I had her on the show and we started talking about it, and people enjoyed her so much almost instantaneously that they said, you know, they assumed we were going to like co-host, and they wanted to hear more of her
mm-hmm.
and her voice and her, you know, her opinion and the way she sort of explained, the legality of kind of what we're attempting to do. And so I just flat out asked her, I was like, hey, I, you know, I'd love for you to just be my co-host and just come on and just keep working with me on this thing. And here we are now, we're going to, you know, we're prepping for season two. And I talk with her all the time, and, you know, we're good friends now. And she's really, I've never seen anybody take to podcasting as naturally as Jen has takes.
I agree with that. There's always like a, elementary school phase for a lot of podcasters.
Yeah.
You know, where you're learning, because you're always learning and growing with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why everybody cringes about going back to their first couple episodes, you know.
Yeah, certainly I do.
Yeah. And I've always thought about going back and re-recording mine, but then I'm like, no, you know what? I want people to hear the transition, because I would like to think it got better over time.
Right.
But you guys, you both, honestly, we're really spoiled with each other for different reasons, you know.
Yeah.
And I've told her this before too, where you know, obviously you got her kind of into podcasting, you got the audience into her as well too, so that helped too. But I think you guys just really complement each other really, really well, which is part of what made Vanished work. Along with, obviously, the content was great too, but I mean, I'll tell you what, I've said this to you before, but I would not want to go up against her in a courtroom. Like,
no.
She is the sweetest person in the world. But if you get against her for anything, man, not only will you feel stupid, but you'll probably like cry and just go away. And if you follow her as well too, it's kind of nice seeing her get some wins here and there against the.
Yeah, I mean,
prosecutors.
It's great. Oh, like, yeah. No, it's great. I remember working on season one with her, and as we get into the theory episodes, you know, Earhart is, as you know, probably you know better than most. There's so many different ways you can go with the Earhart. There's the main mm-hmm. plot lines. It's almost like a choose your own adventure book, and it's these main theories, and you have all these sub theories that are under those theory umbrellas, and it just goes all these different ways. And I remember talking with her. You know, she would email people back and forth and potential guests on the show and things. And there were times, I won't say who, but there were specific guests who were prepping to do the show. And these, you know, these are guys that have been working on this case for 20, 30 years in some cases. And, you know, telling her essentially via email, you know, bring the fuck on. Yep. Like I there's nothing, you know, telling her like I'm ready for anything you have. And she just absolutely just destroyed them on the show. And it was one of those situations where it was just, I'm listening to the audio. I'm listening to, I'm kind of doing the QC and editing the piece and putting it together. And you're just hearing, I'm hearing this audio and hearing her cross-examination for the first time of certain people. And it's just like, oh my, I'm cringing, not in a bad way. Like I'm cringing, like, holy shit. Like she really nails these people. And it's really amazing. And then you start hearing other people after they're hearing people that are recording after those people are now reaching out to me and saying, hey, please tell her to go easy on us.
I changed my mind.
Yeah, please tell her to go easy on us. We're fans of hers. We don't want to start an argument. We just want to get our evidence out. It's really a testament to what, you know, how good she is at what she does.
No, I agree.
And, I agree with you 100%. She's the sweetest person. And, but you know, she is excellent at what she does. I mean, it's not a scripted thing. It's when we get these people on, you know, I know we had some fun with Sleepy Hollow, and that was a little more scripted and a little more fun and
a little bit so much fun.
Kind of outside. Yeah, a little bit outside what we do. But Earhart, when we did season one, all the trial stuff, everything you hear is 100% raw and 100% honest. And what we're doing, like, you know, even our conversations when her and I are chatting before and after court, nothing is scripted. And when she gets these people on the stand and she follows these people up with questions, not a single word of that is scripted. And it's really remarkable. And I think it's a testament to the guests who come on the show, because, you know, they agree to do it. And I think it's really great that they agree to put themselves out there like that. But Jennifer is amazing in every you know form of the word, and I'm blessed to have her as a co-host and as a partner on the show. And I think what we have in store for season two is even better than season one, and I can't wait to get into it, man. It's gonna be a lot.
I can't wait to listen to it either, because you know my conspiracy brain loves all that.
Oh yeah, and.
I don't know if I had the voice in me right now for Alex Jones, but I can do a hell of an Alex Jones. Oh yeah, man,
dude, I'm telling you, it's so exciting to sort of talk, and you know, talking to these people, and for me it's a little different because I've been doing nothing but Earhart for 15 years now, 16 years now, something like that. So actually conducting like my first interview on the John Wilkes Booth case was really surreal, because I'm like, I'm stepping sort of outside my comfort zone and kind of my niche and what I know really well. And but we're applying the same stuff we did to season one. We're applying the same format to it. We have some really kind of special things sort of in store for season two, and kind of the way we're going to be telling the story and all that. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm excited to dive into it with her.
Are you able to give any mini spoilers for the season two?
It's going to go into some. If you thought Earhart was crazy, if you thought the Earhart case was crazy, you haven't seen nothing yet.
All right.
This is, you know, this is war and brutality and betrayal and just all the things that we were never prepared for in a case like this. It's really just incredible. There's mummies involved in this case.
Oh,
there's
wow.
All kinds of crazy shit involved in this investigation. And it's also spanned 40, 50 years. And the gentleman that I'm going to have on sort of on my side of the case, so to speak, who's going to help me present, you know, the story of Booth potentially surviving and actually not being killed in the barn, Garrett's barn, on April 26th of 1865. He's been doing this for 45 years.
Oh, wow.
So, and what was really interesting about this is there was, you know, we talk about this crazy trial by jury thing we're trying to do and kind of bring this into the modern day, you know, 2020 thing. There was actually a trial, a John Wilkes Booth related trial in 1995, not
oh, really?
That long ago. And it was sort of in the same vein as what we're going to be dealing with for the show. And it's the whole idea behind the trial was, you know, there was one side that wanted to dig up, excavate an actual body to do some DNA testing to determine if the body in the grave was actually Booth or not. And there was another side that did not want to do that because of desecration of a corpse. They didn't know who was actually buried. They didn't know if some people were buried actually over that person.
Sounds a little too convenient, Irene Bolam.
Right. Yeah. So very interesting stuff, right? So it's going to be a lot of fun. But what's really cool is, you know, there was a trial. So these guys, these men and women that we're going to have take place or take part in season two, actually this is not their first trial on John Wilkes Booth, which is really fascinating. They did this for real about 25 years ago now.
Wow.
But it's pretty interesting, and we're going to be able to get into some of the legalities. Jen's going to sort of give us a whole new set of sort of legal stuff to kind of consider. There's very specific legal aspects that apply to this case that didn't apply to Earhart. There's a lot of similarities too, but we're going to kind of get into that and talk about some different legality than we did in season one. The investigation side is going to be a lot of fun. We're sort of doing what we can to mix season one of Vanished and Sleepy Hollow as much as we can.
But definitely still more on the historical side rather than the legend side, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Definitely more on the historical side. Definitely more on the historical side. What we do is, it's a mix of historical, it's a mix of, legal, it's a little bit of, like, a pinch of true crime in there, a little bit of fun with that for that audience. And, it's a lot of, and even some science, because we get into DNA and we get into, forensic anthropology and a lot of different aspects of science that we get to kind of take part in helping, solve these potential historical cold cases like this. So it's a lot of fun. And her and I have been actually talking about what we're going to do even for season three at this point. And we got a couple of really great cases for season three that we're considering doing.
Oh, well, we'll definitely talk offline about that, because that sounds great.
Yeah, we haven't really decided yet, but there may or may not be multiple seasons in one calendar year for season three. We'll see how it goes for season two and how stress intensive it is for everything we have to do behind the scenes to put the shows together. But, we've learned some lessons from season one. We're definitely not going to be doing these big, long, draconian 4.5-hour episodes or anything. But we're going to be putting out a lot of content, and it's going to be a lot of fun, man. A lot of bonus content, a lot of stuff on YouTube we're going to do.
That's awesome.
And we're going to try to expand it so people who want to dive super deep into John Wilkes Booth can, or if they want to just take just the main feed and just dive into it as much as that, then they can do that too. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's cool. And I'm looking forward to it, at least as a listener.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to hearing about it. And I like that it covers a lot of those, a little bit, like you said, a little bit of tinfoil hat, a little bit of legal, a little bit of history, and a whole lot of fun, it sounds like.
Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of fun, man. And, so tonight, I know we touched on a few different things, and we talked about podcasting tonight. We talked a little bit about some of the current events and why we're sort of doing this together tonight. But I did want to sort of wrap up on a really fun note with you. And
sure.
This is something we started doing with Rob, and we just did it with Mike Boudet, and we're going to do it with you now. So you're the third person we're going to do this with. And I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure you have, but he's pretty big in pop culture, but James Lipton, who was the host of Inside the Actors Studio, just passed away not that long ago. One of my favorite shows of all time, and he did a very special questionnaire
of
each show, and we're going to sort of run that into our show, as I've said in the last couple episodes.
Oh, that'd be cool.
We're gonna do it as a tribute, and I would like to do that with you tonight. So are you game for this?
Absolutely. Yeah, I liked Rob's answers too, so I'll try not to copy him too much.
All right, awesome. so for those who don't know, for those who haven't heard Rob's show, or for those who haven't heard, well, Mike's show's not going to drop until Saturday night, but for those who haven't heard the show yet, he was the host of this great show, Inside the Actor's Studio, where they had all these really, you name it, they had it. They had them on there. And at the end of the show, he would do this questionnaire that was it was originated by a French television personality, Bernard Pivot, on his show. Show was called Apostrophes. And it's essentially a 10-question questionnaire, but for you, we're going to give you an 11th special 11th question.
Oh,
That's kind of appeals to right in your wheelhouse, let's say.
All right.
And so we're going to start with the very first question that was asked to everybody, and we're going to ask you that now. What is your favorite word?
I'm going to go with pizza on this one. And here, and maybe this is just a little quarantine talk, but here's why. To me, it's like the perfect comfort food, right?
Yeah.
Everybody loves their version of it, whether it's vegan or homemade or takeout. I'm sure they have some kind of vegetarian version of it or something like that.
Yeah.
But there's always a version of it. And it also kind of ties full circle to me, at least, on podcasts.
Yeah.
And here's why. Because I think that a lot of times some people get caught up with, oh, this podcast covered the same thing as this podcast.
Right.
And then they get a little annoyed by that. And I've always compared that to cheese pizza. Right. Because it's all the same ingredients, right? Dough, sauce, cheese. Right. But everybody has their favorite, right? As far as their favorite takeout place, their favorite way of making it at home, their favorite, you know, little twists that are on it. You know, this place is better because they put brown sugar in the sauce, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that podcasting is really similar. And then those little twists are the host's personality coming through.
Yeah.
So I think that to me, that's why I'd go with pizza, because I love pizza and could eat it breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
But also, and you know, it kind of fits right now with the quarantine stuff, but it also fits as far as I think for podcasting as a whole too.
All right. Well, on the opposite end of that, what is your least favorite word?
All right. Well, you know, it's going to be moist, ointment, or panties, or some combination of the three of those, right?
Moist is a big one for least favorite word. I was kind of really surprised. Everybody really, not a lot of people like that word.
I don't, it's just one of those things. Like I said, ointment is horrible too. Some people will say, you know, moist is only good if you're talking about chocolate cake. I say even then, I'm not a big fan of cake. So, you know, more brownie and ice cream for me, you know? So maybe I would say moist doesn't even work there either. But yeah, ointment and panties are my other two that I hate. and if you combine any of those three together,
it's even
then
worse.
We're done.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I got you. All right. Well, what turns you on, sir?
All right. That's a tough question for now. No, for 11 o'clock my time. No, I'm just kidding. So but I'd say, honestly, it goes as far as either on the romantic side or the podcast side or entertainment side, whatever you want to call it. I think for me, it's sense of humor.
Yeah.
And making me think about things.
Right.
I mean, as you know, from talking offline as well too, I'm kind of a sarcastic smartass by nature. So you kind of have to be able to make me laugh and keep up with that for me. And that'll keep me entertained in one sense of, you know, what, one sense of the word or another. And then we're usually pretty good if that's the case.
All right. Well, what turns you off?
People that don't drink whiskey. No, I'm just kidding. Super judgmental people, I think, is really what it is for me.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So it's everyone has different backgrounds, whether, you know, that's politics or whatever it is, different paths they chose in life.
Yeah.
But to me, a lot of these, like, varying perspectives, I think, are really kind of what makes life interesting, and that's what makes it fun. And again, whether you want to apply that to podcasting or whatever, but everybody has their own path. And I think the less you judge people on it and the easier it is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not perfect by any means. I mean, you can ask my ex-wife on that, but, but generally speaking, you know, I think you learn a lot from people. You don't have to agree with them, but you can at least listen and learn.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I have friends on both sides of the political spectrum, both sides of the conspiracy, you know, true believer or skeptic side, you know, as far as kind of the more mundane stuff goes. You know, there's people that like cilantro and don't like cilantro, you know, that sort of thing, you know, you can go all the way down.
Right.
But for me, that's what it is. I think generally, if you're not an asshole 90% of the time, then we're good.
Fair enough. All right. What sound or noise do you love?
Yeah, this is going to sound really cliche, but I'd say, as my kids laughing, specifically my daughter, and I love all my kids, but, you know, I don't have a favorite, but her being the youngest one, and also I have two younger brothers, and then I had the boys, the boys were there first, but there's something with her laugh that's like, just maybe it's her being three or the only girl, I don't know, but it's just, it's really extra special to me as far as that goes. And you know, I know they get on my nerves sometimes, but that little kind of laugh she has is my favorite for me as a dad.
What about the opposite? What sound or noise do you hate?
Well, obviously, bad podcasting audio is the real one. But I would say kind of related to that is that just people chewing on the microphone, like that chewing kind of mouth noise. And I don't have full-blown, like, you know, misophonia or whatever that is. But it's just more... just that noise and the mouth noise, that sort of thing. And there is ways you can eat on the microphone. If you're like, oh, this tastes really good, you can turn the mic a little bit, or you could, there's a lot of tactful ways you could do it, I think. But you know, that and the lip smacking thing, it's just,
All right. Number seven. The seventh question is everyone's favorite question. What is your favorite curse word?
Well, you know, fuck's going to be everybody's favorite curse word, so which I agree with. It's a verb, noun, adjective, good base word to add things to. You know, you can add mother, stupid fucker. I mean, you can do a lot of stuff with it.
Right.
But I would say, believe it or not, and you might, I don't know if you have to censor this one out or not, but I would say cocksucker is one that needs to be used more. So anyway, that's just my own personal opinion. I think it's an underutilized swear word.
Yeah. That's a pretty massive one. Okay, what profession other than your own?
Leave that out.
No, that's fine. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Let's see. This is going to sound like I'm 10 years old, but I would say morning radio hosts.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just the podcast gene that I've always kind of had since looking back at it. I think I had longer than I thought I did, so to speak, you know, where you're recording, recording the things off the songs off the radio and pretending to be a DJ in between them, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I think honestly, beyond that, like I mentioned, I listened to this morning talk radio show, right?
Right.
For years, and it's gotten me through a lot of different stuff. So started listening to them when I was, lost my job years and years ago. And then they just kind of have gotten me through all this stuff in my life, good and bad.
Yeah.
Right. And it's one of those weird things, sort of similar to podcasting, but I know they get calls all the time where they're like, you got me through chemo or something really serious in life. And, my life changes were thankfully a little bit more tame than that.
Yeah.
But I want to have kind of that kind of impact on people.
Yeah.
Where I think that would be kind of cool to just have one person later on in life be like, hey, you know what? That show or that person, that host, whatever, changed my life a little bit or made my day a little bit better. And then who knows what kind of, domino effect that could have on somebody.
Yeah. That's a good one. What profession would you not like to attempt?
It's funny. If you asked me that like 2 years ago, I'd probably have a very different answer on that. but I've done a lot of jobs in my life. Maybe it's my massive ADD or not, but I did the corporate desk jockey thing for a long time. That was, fun and money and what you have to do.
Yeah.
You go through some life changes. I was doing the server bartender thing, door to door sales. I did all that. Yeah, I did door and obviously then stay at home dad, which is I think a little bit more rare than some of the other ones. So I'm not 100% sure what I would actually say for that, because I'm really not above any job, especially at this point, I mean, and I think more and more people are going to find out they're not above jobs too, if this whole thing continues a little bit longer than it should. So we'll figure it out. But honestly, I don't think there is one that I would absolutely not do.
This next one, you would be considered by many to be an expert to answer this next question.
Oh boy.
This is the sort of the bonus one for you. And that is, what is the best or the go-to alcoholic beverage?
I think it depends on the occasion. I would say beer is good, obviously, being my old episode, because that can go everything from craft beer to Miller Lite, and I have both in my fridge, by the way.
Yeah.
I think vodka is good in the summer, or if you want to, you're at like a wedding or kind of social thing, vodka is my social alcohol.
Yeah.
But then whiskey's my like thinking alcohol. Mm. So, for me, as I just had a glass while we were talking tonight, So, and I used to be only scotch, and now I've ventured out into rye and bourbon and not disappointed with that. So
nice.
So I don't think there is one. I think it's honestly, it goes back to the other answer to the other question. Whatever doesn't make you an asshole is the one that's right for you.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. That's definitely a good answer. I don't think I've ever heard anyone refer to any alcohol as thinking alcohol. So that's pretty interesting.
But yeah, whiskey's been one of those things. And this goes back to like, even my brother and I, that's when we would talk conspiracies, like at my parents' house. Like I remember I'd come home from college and my youngest brother and I would, just sit out back on their patio and just enjoy a nice glass of whatever my dad had that we can't afford, and kind of sit out there and just talk about all sorts of conspiracies and crazy stuff, at that time. And that was way before podcasts were even a thing too. Yeah. So that's why I refer to it as my thinking, thinking drink.
Well, the last question before we get out of here tonight, is maybe the most profound one. And I think it's a great question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Well, my smart ass answer is that I want him to tell me who killed JFK, but maybe we'll find that out on season 3 of Vanished. honestly, and this might be getting a little too sentimental, but I want him to say, meet your grandfather.
Yeah.
And here's why. Like, this is getting a little deep, but for the end of the show. But my mom's dad died when I was 3. And he's always been kind of one of my, whatever you want to call it, whatever you believe in, like spirit guide, yeah, guardian angel, sure, whatever you want to call it. He's kind of always just floating around.
Yeah.
You know, and I swear to God, he saved my life on more than one occasion in life. Our high school senior year high school pitchers look a lot alike. It's really scary. Mm. There's a lot of that stuff. So I'd say, you know, there's this theory that if there is an afterlife, you can hang out there, you know, when you move on to that at whatever age you want to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would love to just sit down and, speaking of whiskey, have a glass with him. And actually all of my grandparents that are up there right now, the 3 that are up there, and just have a couple of drinks with them and just hang out and just get to know them a little bit. But him specifically, because he died when I was so young, and I feel like it would just be interesting to get to know him and his life a little bit.
Yeah.
So
very profound. Beautifully said.
So, a little deep to end the podcast.
No, sorry. that's actually a beautiful sentiment to end tonight's show on. So before we get out of here for good tonight, plug your website one more time. I know you dropped it a little bit earlier, but plug your website, plug the podcast as well, because it was a great show. Plug it all.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here.
Yeah. So the old feed is Pints and Puzzles. I think it's actually still up on iTunes or Apple Podcasts and wherever you get the podcast. And actually, Notes from the Attic has a trailer up there, which is really, really old and outdated at this point. But that was a future podcast that may still end up coming out at some point very later on. But yeah, just if you go back and listen to Pints and Puzzles, make sure that you realize I was on an old microphone then. And there's a big learning curve in podcasting. So just cut me a little bit of slack there. That was before my masterful editing days that I'm at now. But speaking of that, that's 4170solutions.com for editing and podcasting. Both my social medias are personal now. They're not professional, quote unquote. So take them for what they're worth. Yeah. But TJ Cunahan, you can find me on either one of those on Instagram and Twitter. I refuse to get Facebook, even though I know that Facebook owns Instagram, but still,
yeah.
You know, so I'm always on there and open any conversations. They're both public feeds, so you don't have to, you know, there's nothing fancy on there, but I will say they're definitely personal. So take them for what they are.
Well, tonight it's been a lot of fun. I know this is sort of last minute. I appreciate you jumping on with me and hopefully, you know, we've been talking for a little over an hour. Hopefully for this hour, you were able to sort of forget about what's going on so much, or just kind of talk about some podcasting and just kind of just have a good time. So we hope this helped even a little bit. And TJ, I appreciate you, sir, as always.
Yeah, thanks so much, Chris. I really appreciate it. I know we can always talk. I feel like we could do another 3 hours on this. So I appreciate you having me on and give me a little bit of your podcast space as well.
If you made it all the way through our conversation tonight, I want to thank you for hanging out with me and my friends. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Please visit us on social media as we post each new conversation as they air. News, show information, and much more. Go to facebook.com/meandmyfriendspod. On Twitter, you can search the handle meMyFriendsPod. And on Instagram, you can find us by searching the handle @meandmyfriendspod. If you enjoyed our conversation tonight, please do me a favor and head to iTunes to rate us and leave us a review. As a brand new podcast, we need all the help we can get, and your time is truly appreciated. Me and My Friends is produced by Vanessa Williamson and edited by me, Chris Williamson. Tonight, the podcast featured the very special song Lean On by Squeaky Clean Studios and Kid Conway. The opinions on Me and My Friends are those of the individual guests and may not reflect those of Chris Evan Films Incorporated. Chris Evan Films Incorporated is not affiliated with the films or clips referred to herein. Any audio clips used in this podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purposes of education and entertainment, and no infringement is ever intended. Me and My Friends is an exclusive trademark of Chris Evan Films Incorporated and may not be used without the express written consent of Chris Evan Films Incorporated, all rights reserved. Me and My Friends is a Chris Evan Films production, copyright 2020, all rights reserved. All we need.
need is someone to lean on.